Shanti and good morning. Before coming to this seat, I asked Sister Meera if there is any special subject on which I am supposed to give this morning's talk or class. She said nothing in particular. She left it to me. But still I would like to know if there is anything special in your mind which you would like to be discussed this morning. I in fact remember Baba's Avyakt Vani when I was here last time on 23rd of December. I think many of you were perhaps here at that time, or at least we have gone through that Murli. There were many salient features of that Murli, and if we reflect upon them, they, I think, bring to our mind what are common features of almost all the Murlis. For example, Baba asked on that night, beloved children who were sitting in front of him, whether some of them would like to become Chandravanshi or Silver Aged. They said, no, no. Then all of you would like to become Golden Aged, Suryavanshi? Yes, yes. Everyone raised the hands. We would like to become Suryavanshi. You would like to become Brahmins or Kshatriyas? And you know, Kshatriyas are those who before they give up this body are yet fighting against Maya, have not scored the final victory. And Brahmins are those who are supposed to have finally conquered all the vices, the Karmendriyas and so on. They said, yes, not Kshatriyas, but Brahmins. Now, these kinds of things which Baba said in that Murli have been said more or less in different terms, of course, in other Murlis. What they imply is that our goal is perfection. Suryavanshi means perfection, not Chandravanshi. Brahmins means perfection. Kshatriya means who have not yet been able to attain perfection. So, the very first thing which we must keep in our mind constantly and which often slips away is that our goal is perfection. Because human actions are goal-oriented. There is no one who does not have any goal in the mind, more or less. May be aware, may not be aware at a particular moment. But the actions are always goaded by the goal, the final object we have in our mind. So we must always keep in our mind that we want perfection. Many of our bad habits, our deficiencies, our shortcomings, our failures, we are unable to get rid of them because we forget this goal. When, for example, we don't change and we expect others to change instead before we change, is that we forget that we have to become perfect. It is our own goal. When some senior one asks us not to do a particular thing, but to do the other positive one, which Baba has been ordaining in many of the Murlis, and yet we do not give up our negative thinking, it is because at that time we forget that our goal is perfection. Perfection is our goal. We must have all the divine qualities, not some of the divine qualities. Baba said when you just mention as to who are the deities of Golden Age, you say Sarvaguna Sampan. They have all the virtues. You don't say they have most of the virtues, many virtues. No, all the virtues. The emphasis is on the word all, which again means perfection. Sampurna Nirvikari, not simply viceless, but absolutely, completely, fully baseless. Not even a small tinge of vices will have been left. The vices will be absolutely erased from our mind. Then again it shows the fullest degree, the perfection, the excellence. So excellence or perfection is our goal. Even the scientists, especially the brain scientists, have been saying that there are many faculties of the brain which lie dormant, which have not yet been fully awakened. We are not using them. They have become atrophied because of disuse and because of our inability to make use of them. Our full potential is not being used. So everyone is talking of making use of our full potential. And that is what perfection means. Attaining our full potential. Activating our full potential. We in fact have many qualities. We have to awaken them. To bring them into play. So that all our lifestyle, our day-to-day actions, our attitudes, our emotions, our outlook are guided by our full potential. So that is the first which I got from that Murli, that this is what Baba has been saying in various forms. Even if you keep in mind today's Murli, any day's Murli, you will find that some of the versions of Baba are centered on this, reminding again and again what our goal is. Sometimes he would say karmatit avastha, the karmatit stage, the seed stage and so on. So in one way or the other, it would again be drawing our attention to what our goal is. Now how can this perfection be achieved? Then Baba generally dwells on this. He brings to focus certain things which have to be done. We are perhaps missing their importance. And therefore, he wants to draw our attention to them. And I find that one of the things is collection. For attaining perfection, you have to do what we call collection. Now, collection of points of knowledge. These are in fact the points of wisdom. And Baba has been saying these are gems of godly knowledge. Don't consider them merely just points of knowledge, but gems of godly knowledge. And in fact, he has been saying that in the golden age, your crown will have as many diamonds and gems as you attain the gems of knowledge in this life. Your palaces would have gold plates on the walls and they will be studded with jewels. How many jewels? What kind of jewels? What grade of jewels? Precious or non-precious? Depending upon the collection of gems of knowledge which you make in this life. So you must fill your mind with this. Remove the pebbles which are there, the iron-edged thoughts, because thought is the main important factor. Idea moves the world. The whole world is being moved by the idea. Idea does not die. Idea is immortal. Scientists are using their scientific ideas, politicians their political ideas, economists their economic ideas, but everyone is being moved by an idea. You came here with an idea in your mind, and when you leave this place, you will be leaving with an idea in your mind. It is the idea which will be moving you. So, what kind of ideas we should have, thoughts we should have? The highest thoughts, the highest ideas, which are from Shiv Baba, the wisest, the highest, the holiest, the perfect, eternally perfect being. His ideas are the most precious, most valuable. And therefore, we want to store as many of the ideas, the divine wisdom, the godly commandments, Srimad, as we say. Not the ideas of human beings, which are fallible. Human beings have many shortcomings, many failures. But God alone is the perfect. And therefore, we want to replace our frail and weak and defective ideas by Baba's ideas. So, this is collection. Collection of gems of diamonds of godly knowledge. Then collection of virtues also. In order to attain perfection, you must have collection of divine qualities, all the divine qualities. How you can bring them in? And how you can remove out, throw out the bad qualities? So, Baba says there should be no leakage, there should be no wastage, there should be positive thinking. You must stop negative thinking, change the waste into the best. And how to do that? That is possible only when your focus is the divine qualities. Collect as many as you possibly can. When you look upon others, what actions they are doing, what kind of personality they are, they may be having negative traits, negative personality, but you have to pay your attention to what is positive in them. Because it is through attention that the process of learning takes place. Learning never happens without attention. If someone is saying something which is very useful, very important, very beneficial, but my attention is not there, I can't learn. Learning is always through attention. So you must pay attention to the good qualities in others and try to collect as many as you can. This is the way of learning. And we have to learn as long as we live in order to become perfect, because learning is a lifelong process. It can't be for a year or two or for a particular period of time. Even in the formal kinds of knowledge, they are giving intensive courses, refresher courses every now and then, because new and new things are coming and people have to learn them. The old knowledge is becoming obsolete and new facts are being told, because so much research is being done. So much so that they say that there is knowledge explosion, information explosion. Daily you get so much new information, you can't keep pace with them. But try to refresh yourself with as much as you can. And here also, not only collection of gems of knowledge, but also collection of divine qualities. That is what we call the deities are. The deities are those human beings who have the best qualities. Qualitative wise, they are the best, the highest, the noblest, the ablest, the best, you can say, quality wise. That is what we are trying to become. And then you have to collect the blessings of others. Try to satisfy. Baba says you have to attain satisfaction. Your own mind should be satisfied with yourself. Much of the trouble in this world is because man is not satisfied with himself. And so the woman with herself. I am using only one form to mean both, as a matter of fact. So, we are not satisfied with ourselves often. And that is the reason why we behave as we do. It may be that sometimes the child is not happy with the mother. It is because the child is not happy with the self, as a matter of fact. Very often it so happens that the others are nice with you, but you think that you are not the person who deserve. You are not nice to yourself, honest to yourself, sincere to yourself. You are not what you expect yourself to be. When you look into the mirror of knowledge, your own self, and you find that you are not up to the mark as you would like yourself to be, that is the first kind of dissatisfaction. And that leads to other kinds of dissatisfaction. And but I was talking of blessings. Do good unto others as much as you can. So that is how they will bless you. And you must be a person who can make the maximum collection of these blessings of others. Very often we are saying of blessings of Shiv Baba. Baba ke vardaan. Daily after the murli, we just are told the blessings of Baba. Baba is always blessing, no doubt. But sometimes others may be cursing us. Not orally or vocally, but in our mind they may be unhappy with us. Especially Brahmins, those who are practicing yoga, they have a high potential. They are radiating very powerful waves. And if they are unhappy with us, we should be afraid. please try to make them happy. Because their waves are very powerful and it's injurious to ourselves if we make them unhappy. And keep in mind, in the Indian scriptures, Brahmahatya, as they say, to displease a Brahmin or to kill a Brahmin is the greatest of the sins, you see, for which there is no pardon. And the punishment cannot be remitted or lessened. That is the highest. Anyone who is devoted to God, dedicated to Shiv Baba, doing Shiv Baba's service, Shiv Baba has adopted that person as a child. And if you displease that person, Shiv Baba may not be having any police, any jail, any court of law, but the punishment is very subtle. Our mind is not happy. Why we are not happy? Why we are not having the super sensuous joy as gopis and gopis are supposed to have? It is because we have displeased someone. Not only the Brahmins or those who are in this family, but others. Try to be nice to everyone. Your conscience must give you the satisfaction that you are acting according to Baba's commandments. If after that somebody is displeased, it is the fault of that person. But at least there should be the inner voice in you, which should say, which should confirm that what you have done is according to the teachings of Baba. That is the greatest satisfaction in life. So blessings of others we have to collect. That is what I was saying. And then we should do as much service as possible. That is also collection of good things, good acts. We are all living for ourselves, doing some job, having some money to sustain ourselves, to earn our daily bread and so on. But to do something for the benefit of others, the well-being of others. That golden age should come where everyone should be happy. To give peace to others, to divinize others, to spiritualize others. To bring others to Baba, so that they also can have connection with the ocean of peace and bliss. That is the greatest service we can do. And collect these kinds of acts. So this is collection. Collection of gems of knowledge, collection of divine qualities, collection of the blessings of others, and collection of the acts of service. And collection of the intense moments of meditation, which is the most important of all. That we should be yogis, not for certain hours of the day, but try to be as much yogi as possible all the day long. So, Baba says that tapobal, tapasya, collection of tapasya, the acts of yoga. This is a mental act, a spiritual act, not a physical act. Because when we practice meditation, we are detached from the physical and we are being spiritual. But that in itself is an action. This kind of action, maximum. So this again is a collection. Yoga power, collection of yoga power, collection of the thoughts of Baba. So, this is collection. And then, the second thing is correction. When you have knowledge, knowledge tells you what you should do and what you should not do. There should be no wastage. There should be no leakage. This is what has not to be there. And you must do positive thinking. This is what has to be there. So, what you should do, what you should not do. Do's and don'ts. Knowledge enables us to know our duty and what we should refrain from. So this is where the correction lies. When we know that this should not be done and instead that should be done, so keeping in mind this kind of thing, the principle, the law, we have to correct ourselves. Our deficiencies, our shortcomings, our failures, our negativities, we have to correct. So Baba says, first do the checking. How we do the checking? By means of the points of knowledge which we have collected, the Srimad, the godly wisdom, that will enable us to do the checking. Then that is used for our correction. And correction means we should not repeat it. If by chance, for one reason or the other, due to one factor or the other, there has been a failure on our part, we have done something wrong, our attitude has been wrong, our outlook has been wrong, our thinking has been wrong, our behavior has been wrong, our action has been wrong, whatever has been wrong should not be repeated. That is what correction means. Because we have a time limit. Within that time limit we are supposed to attain perfection. We are not given endless time. It is not that in the next life or in the life after next we can continue with this effort and ultimately a day will come when we will be able to attain our perfection. That is a great difference between what other people say and what Baba teaches us here. Many of the religions say, take for example Buddhism. Buddha also believes in reincarnation and also in karma theory, karma philosophy. But Buddhism says that if you can't become perfect in this life, maybe in the next life, then in the life after next, you will continue with this effort. Buddha changed many forms. He was a monkey in one form, in one incarnation, another being in another incarnation. That is what they believe. And ultimately he became Buddha, means the enlightened, the liberated. So he became Buddha. And you also one day can become Buddha. That is what they say. But Baba says, no, golden age is going to come. Iron age is going out, giving place to golden age. And this period of transition is the only period available to you throughout the whole kalpa, when you can make this effort. So make it so sincerely, so honestly, so attentively, so purposefully, that you should not miss this single moment of this very valuable, very important, very precious life. Because on this depends the whole of your kalpa, the drama part. And this is where the question of correction comes. If you don't correct, your mistake will repeat endlessly, cycle after cycle, infinite number of times. And if you correct yourself, you'll be free from it eternally. Next time again, be sure you will again be able to correct. So pay as much attention to correction. Then only there can be perfection. So, after collection was correction. Then the other important thing is connection. You see, connection with Shiv Baba, which is very important. Connection also with the Divine Family. If we do not have connection with the Divine Family, we become weak. This is very important. Family gives us sustenance. In many Muralis, Baba has been saying that the very first act of Maya is to separate ourselves from this family. It is very wonderful, this family. Even if there are some members of this family who have not been nice to you, who create troubles for you, problems for you, and that they don't let you any chance or any progress, or they are criticizing you, they don't understand you or whatever, even that is important. This family is a must. As something grows in a culture, now this also, your spiritual growth is in this culture. Without this family, you can't have that kind of culture. Agriculture is a culture. Similarly, scientists, whatever they grow, the germs are microscopic, microbes or whatever, in a particular culture. Growth is always in a particular culture, in a particular medium, in something which gives them some kind of sustenance. But the question is, if someone is an obstacle in your way, is being negative to you, how can that culture be called as one which sustains you, helps you, promotes you, supports you? It is inimical to you, injurious to you, harmful to you, you would say. No. Baba says that we have been together, life after life. You don't recognize each other, but the very thing that how others behave with you is a sign how you have been with them, or they have been with you. Because nothing happens without karma. If someone is not nice to you or is being the opposite of it to you, it is because of some reason. There is nothing without a reason. And that in itself shows that there has been a past. And we are now settling our accounts. So if you don't settle your account, you run away from here, where will you go? You can't leave the earth and go to moon. Even if you go there, we will accompany you. Some of them went together, you know. The karma is such, it creates such a bondage that the souls have some time or the other to settle their accounts. So why don't you do it with pleasure, with happiness? Why do you want to have an escapist attitude? You can't run away because this has to be there. You must settle account. But you have sown the seeds and you must reap the fruit thereof. That is the law of karma. So, being with the family, happy with the family, just try to understand the value of the family, see, and how essential, how important it is for our growth. When some people, when Dadi Chandramani ji was asking this morning some question, and some sisters and brothers were answering with great enthusiasm, showing their hands, speaking out what was there in their mind. Someone, one answer, the other person another answer, the other another answer. This makes us grow. We have our own ideas. But when others also give their ideas, it makes a particular cultural milieu, as we say. And that is essential for our growth. If I am alone in the class, me and only the teacher, when the center first starts, in the beginning you have only very few students who stick the class, it looks differently. But when you are 8 or 10 or 20, we have a social sense and we grow in a social cultural atmosphere that is necessary. And you will find that this family is therefore very, very essential. Even if we don't speak, our very presence, our very vibrations, the fact that you are here, our noticing that there are others in the class, that in itself gives a sense of fulfillment, that we belong to something. The sense of belongingness is very important. So, this connection with the family, and when I say connection, it should not be a wrong connection. Baba saying, first we are brothers, then we are brothers and sisters, as Dadi Chandramani was emphasizing even today. What are our connections? And a connection with Shiv Baba, connection with the family, our connection with the teacher, our connection with the seniors, our connections with our equals, our connections with the newcomers, our connections with the family members, our connections with the people outside. These are all connections. And all our yogi life, the present Brahmin life, or whatever other label you give it, it depends upon connections. Where the connections are not correct, the trouble starts. You see, your mind becomes peaceless. All peacelessness is because of wrong connections. Something goes wrong with our connections somewhere, and therefore there is tension, there is peacelessness, there are vices. What are vices? The evils, the five evils as we call them, wrong connections, misunderstanding. Wrong connections are the root cause of all the troubles in the world. All the divine laws and the laukic laws are to set our connections right. If the connections are not right, people have lost their connection with Shiv Baba, lost their connection with God. Therefore, the souls have become empty, so to say. They don't have peace and bliss and other things which they could get as heritage from Shiv Baba. So, that connection having been lost, the souls have become weak. That is the first casualty. The first problem, the first trouble. Then the connections with the human beings, with the government of the day, with your neighbors, with your co-workers, with your colleagues, with your Laukic family members. These are the connections, you know. So these connections, Baba tells us, the Shrimad are the laws which we can have perfection. Now this I find is the thing which is the common factor of all the Muralis, which is very essential. If we miss any one of them, or if I try to collect knowledge, but I am not checking myself and correcting myself, I am weak in correcting, then I am not being perfect. If I am correcting but not properly connecting, as yet the problem would be there. Still, I am doing negative karma. Again, forming a new karmic account. That is what happens. So these, to my mind, are something which we have to be particular about. When I was just coming to this class, I asked one sister, can you suggest me any topic which I should take up in this class? She said, perhaps touching. Now, how we should have touching from Shiv Baba? It is a good subject as a matter of fact. Touching. We generally have our own ideas, our own thoughts. But to get original thoughts, direct communication, so that we can establish a hotline with Shiv Baba. Hello, my dad, how are you? You see. I ask Baba, Baba speaks to me, I can also speak to, via the satellite, you can get the connection, the link. So, establishing some hotline with Shiv Baba and getting the touchings, so that you feel this is not my idea, it has come from Shiv Baba. You feel very happy when you think that this has come from him. You did not apply your mind to it, you did not make any effort to come to this kind of a conclusion or decision, it came like a flash. You were thinking of something else, you were busy with something else. But suddenly, a thought comes to your mind, a ray of thought comes to your mind. You open the window and then you find that the sun is peeping into your room. How nice it looks, the golden rays come inside. That is what you feel. So, how can we have the touching? And how do we distinguish whether it is a touching or it is my idea? See, this in itself is a very important subject of our divine studies, of our purusharth, because very often we are confused. We are unable to decide what to do and what not to do. There are certain tricky situations which we try to find out a solution, but we find that we don't have that satisfactory answer. And suddenly, if easily a thought comes, and with that thought comes a smile on our face, oh yes, this is what I wanted, you know. And when we put it into practice, we find the satisfactory result, then how much happiness we have. And if this constantly happens, we become the happiest. Touching. So, do you have any touching at this moment? How we should have touching? You must all have had some experience of how to have touching. You must have had some touchings sometime or the other, and you must therefore be able to distinguish between what a touching is and what your own thought is. Can any one of you? Yeah.
I was getting into the plane on Monday, and the tickets were not confirmed. Thursday morning I got up at Amajara. Suddenly, I was asked to go and get the traveler's check. And I acted on it. And the ticket was confirmed only on Monday. I was glad I did it because the Christmas season, all the banks were closed.
I see.
Beautiful thing, but very effective.
Yeah. Now, but how you would say that this was a touching?
It just flashed into my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think of that because I was waiting for the confirmation of the ticket. Then I thought I'll do everything else later.
Yeah. Then what is the difference between intuition and touching?
How only you can say it.
Anyone? The difference, yeah? By experience? Would you speak a bit loudly so that everybody can hear? something from above, from higher on. But how you know that? If you just keep in mind the total cycle, then even if there is a flash on your mind, a ray of thought comes from Shiv Baba to your mind, then that becomes recorded in the self. So that also is an experience of the past. So how could you say it could again, it should now come up in the form of intuition? Because that also was experienced maybe in the last kalpa. So then we have ultimately to find out what is the difference. This also is an experience, but it is a divine experience gifted to us from the high, on high. And it is not that we, by our own efforts, knowingly or unknowingly, had that experience, but something which has been blessed, gifted. Anyone else?
I think touching means any idea which comes suddenly to our mind, we act on it. And it is immediate success, without any hindrance.
Immediate.
When we act on it, immediately it is success. Maybe you would have thought before.
Then I would like to ask, what is immediate? Because to you it may be immediate and you mean instant, just at that very second. Yesterday Baba was saying second or 1 minute, you know. Second or minute? What is immediate?
Second.
Okay. Filled with light. In the case of intuition, you mean to say that we have a feeling that it is mine, my own thought. Is that so? In the case of intuition, we feel that we were not thinking about it. It has come suddenly into our mind, but yet it is our own thought, isn't it? And in the case of touching, you feel it is from on high. Okay.
Whatever thought is involved, not action that you have to perform, but if other people also have touched you, and so that if you act on that thought, you get the cooperation from
others. But there are people who say that there is some kind of a connection between all the beings, and if you have one thought at a particular moment, then others also get those thoughts. Maybe a touching, may not be a touching. If you just read the history of thoughts, history of philosophy, history of inventions or history of science, you would find that certain big people at a particular point of time were having similar thoughts. In China, in Greece, in India, in Rome. There were people at that, say during that decade, 10 or 15 or 20 years, who were having similar kind of thoughts. If you read their writings on philosophy, or their inventions of science, you would think, you will come to know that they were making the same kind of efforts, and saying similar kinds of thoughts. And now some people have come with some books, they have written some books, which explain how this phenomenon occurs, you know. How, when I am thinking, somebody else somewhere is thinking. Maybe that my thought is stirring that thought in his mind, or maybe the other way around. His thoughts may be stimulating my mind and bringing up this thought. But there is some kind of a link, a communication between mind. Similar thoughts are coming up at one point of time in different people, different at different places. So, this happens. It is not always necessary that this may happen. That now take for example Brahma Baba. When Brahma Baba had touchings, it's not that everyone was cooperating. Of course there were some sisters and brothers who came to him and faced the whole society, the community, which was hostile to them and which was being negative to them. But many of the people were not given any cooperation. On the other hand, they were putting obstacles in the way. You were saying something?
What I have heard that touching is beyond your understanding what you want to participate to do, and suddenly a thought occurs and you say, no, I wanted to do this, but suddenly thought comes, no, I unmoving, I'm going to do something else. And without realizing the work is done, and then you have to say, yes, that can't be my fault, it was beyond my capacity. When you go back again, retrospectively analyze, yes, it was beyond your capacity, and in which there was total consider, and of those who you never imagined.
Yeah, often it may happen, but it's not essential feature of it. That we may retrospectively think about it and then may realize that it was touching. But even at that moment when the thought, when that touching comes, you may be able to appreciate that this is actually not your thought, but it is a touching. It is not that it always happens retrospectively. Now, many scientists have given experience of how they had some thoughts about some inventions. Now, Robert Oppenheimer, for example, who was made the chairperson of that atomic energy, that research, which led to the invention of the first atom bomb at Manhattan. Now, he, for example, has said that there will be mathematical questions involved, and they won't be able to solve it. Ultimately, they would feel defeated, and they would think they would give up this project, that it is perhaps not possible for them at this stage to invent this. And he would go to sleep, forgetting everything about it and thinking that next day he is going to resign or decide that he is not going to do it. But in the dream, in the sleep, or maybe when he gets up in the morning and is still in his bed, has not yet come down from it, he would just at that time have a thought, oh, it should be done like this. So then, without trying to, apply the mind to solve those tricky mathematical questions, it will just come, without any effort, without any strenuous effort. So this sometimes happens when they feel that we don't have the capacity to do it, but at that time they may also feel, but he won't say that it was a touching, it was perhaps an intuition, maybe that it was a touching. If we say that Baba leads, ultimately the irony has to end, that those people who are responsible for destruction, I don't know whether this was also a touching, but he himself has expressed that very often he felt that he should give up and he won't be able to do it, but the thought would come. I personally feel that when a touching comes to us, it catches our mind completely into its hold. We can't get out of it. Even if sometimes you feel that this is not for you, you can't do it, or your mind is thinking of an opposite project, opposite thought, but that idea, that thought which comes from Shiv Baba is so strong, so powerful, you can't get out of its clutches, as to say. It takes possession of you. It's not that you possess the thought possesses you. That is what happens. It continuously keeps knocking at the door of your mind. You must do it, you must do it, you must do it, you must do it. You can't forget about it, unless and until you have done it. Because it is from the most powerful source. That thought cannot die. Your thought you can just keep aside. But in this case, when there is a touching, you can't sleep. You can't forget about it, unless and until you agree with it and begin to do it. And you say, yes, I surrender, I will do it. It is not going to leave you, because you have become an instrument, and through you this has to be done. Shiv Baba's thought is never waste. Nothing can resist it. No one can stand in its way. It must be fulfilled. So if it has come into your mind can't say no, unless and until it says, yes, I will do it. So one of the signs I was saying was that the thought possesses you. What is the touching? It possesses you. It takes completely hold on you. You are caught in it. Now you can't escape. You can't go out of it. The thought would constantly hammer you unless and until it is fulfilled. Now, it was said that it would immediately happen or so on. But sometimes it may happen, it's not immediately materialized you don't put it into action, it requires a project. Other people have to. But what I was saying was that it must be fulfilled. There is nothing which can stand in its way. It must happen. Because Shiv Baba's most powerful thought must happen. Nothing can stand in its way, no obstacle can stand in its way. If that is the condition, the first thing is you can't stand in its way. Sometimes your mind is divided to be or not to be, to do or not to do. But in this case, not to be or not to do would finish, you see. The only thing is that you would ultimately decide it has to be, you see. The first thing. The second is that when Shiv Baba gives you a thought, he also gives you the way how that thought must be fulfilled, because it is to be fulfilled. So the other requisite conditions for its fulfillment must be fulfilled also. So if it has to happen, now you must also know the way how it has to be happen. It has to happen. Even if you don't know how this thing can happen, someone will come to you and get fascinated with the idea, and he will say, yes, it is very nice. It can be done this way or that way. He would suggest that way to you. So, as was being said, that there would be cooperation. Maybe in the beginning there is no cooperation. But since it has to happen, ultimately you will get cooperation. Because it must be fulfilled. So if it has to be fulfilled with someone's cooperation, sooner or later cooperation will come. If you do not know how it has to happen, for example, you know when Baba saw the first being, when Shiv Baba first entered into Brahma Baba's body, and he said, you have to establish golden age. You remember that? And Baba said, there was a light, it was a might. And he said, you have to establish golden age. But he did not tell me how to establish the golden age, you see. So he was now caught up with the idea that he has to become instrument for golden age. Therefore, he wound up his business and then began to do this thing, what Baba commanded him to do. He couldn't escape. It was such a powerful thing. Even if the whole community was against him, doesn't matter, you see. He stood alone. But then he didn't know how to establish the golden age. That was the problem. He has to establish golden age. But how to establish the golden age? So, gradually, that thing will dawn on his mind, how to establish the golden age. So when Shiv Baba gives you a thought, he also gives you the wherewithal with it. How to do it? Why to do it? Who are the people who should cooperate? How you should proceed with it? What are the difficulties that will come? How you should solve the problems? So he would give you all the other things which are required for its fulfillment, unless and until it is finally fulfilled. He does not only give the thought, but also the means to fulfill that thought, the power to fulfill that thought. Even the money, the men, the materials, you know, whatever is required to concretize that thought, he gives you. That has ultimately to happen. This is something which you realize in your mind that this was not yours. It is not your ambition. For example, the example I gave you, it was not your desire. That golden age has to come, he didn't even know. Because in India, the kalpa is of so many millions of years, and he had been reading scriptures. He didn't know that the cycle is of 5,000 years, and the iron age is going to end, and golden age is going to begin. He didn't know anything about it. Suddenly that thought, it was not in his desire that he wanted a golden age to come. He was just a worshipper of Narayana, and he thought that Narayana should bless him. In the beginning, whatever jewels, gold, silver, and all this thing he had, he thought Narayana is giving him, that is enough, you see. That I have to become Narayana was not in his mind. Narayana is giving me help. You know, in India there is Narayana and Nakad Narayana. There are two Narayanas. One is Narayana the person. The other is the cash, you know. Cash is called the Nakad Narayana, the immediate payment, you know, in the form of Narayana. That is also called Narayana. It is called Nakad Narayana, that is called the Narayana. They are two different Narayanas. So he was happy with the Nakad Narayana, whether he was Narayana or not. You understand this? Money is also called Lakshmi. Lakshmi is a Devi, a deity, a goddess. But the money you get, that is also called Lakshmi in India, in our vernacular language. So he was getting Lakshmi and Nakar Narayana. He was happy with it. It was not his desire to become Narayana. He had never thought that he was originally Narayana and he, by making some efforts, can become Narayana. That was not his desire. It was revealed to him. A powerful thought descended into his mind, entered into his mind, broke open the crust settled on his mind. It was such a powerful thought, he couldn't escape from it. All the people, even his elder brother, said, "What you are doing?" And, you know, in the very first instance, it were the sisters who were gathering around him. And the community raised voice, "Why he is collecting ladies, you know? All the ladies are going to this, there is something wrong in this institution," they said. And they asked his elder brother to prevail upon this man, Dada Lekh Raj, and that if he wants to do tapasya, let him go to Haridwar or Varanasi, build an ashram there and be with his God if he wants to do it. Why he is collecting ladies, you know? So that was the objection raised against him. They are leaving our houses. There is breakup of families. The ladies are leaving their husband, their fathers and whatever, their guardians. And they are going to Dada Lekh Raj. Why? You see, they asked him to persuade him to refrain from this thing, and if he wants to do yoga, to meditate, to do bhakti or whatever, let him do on the banks of Yamuna or Ganga and go there. No. But that thought was so strong, so powerful, people didn't know that it is not his thought, it is not his desire, he is not making the efforts. He is caught up with an idea, or the idea has caught hold of him. He can't be out of it. So ultimately it had to happen. And that is why you and me are here today. Om Shanti. Thank you.